1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be continuing our study on gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at the definition of a gift. The last time we looked at this subject, we looked at the definition of a gift. This week we're looking at the distribution of the gifts, how the gifts of the Holy Spirit are distributed. It's a very important thing to get a hold of. We need to get a grasp of this doctrine. It's very important. We're going to read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just remain seated and we'll work our way through the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 31. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away under these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. That means that a lost person can't say the words, Jesus is Lord, but it means he can't say it in sincerity, with pure heart, right? Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, now I'm reading this portion because the metaphor is important, okay? The metaphor of the human body is important when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. For as the body is one, or otherwise the Holy Spirit wouldn't have put it in here, right? It's there for a reason. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There's a unity in Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. Your entire body is not made up of a big toe. How ugly would you be? But our body's made up of different members, right? For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole hearing were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. You need to get a hold of verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffers with it, or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and many members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to all those questions is no. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So the distribution of the spiritual gifts, important doctrine to get a grasp of. And as we start out, let me repeat what I said in the past. There's no doctrine amongst Christendom that causes more confusion and conflict than the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the outworking of them in the church. There's just so many different ideas. This surely is off the back of ignorance that has resulted in two extremes when it comes to this doctrine. And the two extremes we face are these. I mentioned them before, but let me repeat them. The two extremes when it comes to spiritual gifts are abuse and excess. And we see that a lot with our charismatic and Pentecostal brothers and sisters. There's abuse and excess there. But then on the other hand, there's neglect and denial, and we see that in our ranks, where we can't even speak of the Holy Ghost. What we need to do is we want to steer a middle course between excess and neglect, where we're trying to find the biblical truth, and that's what's important, right, is the biblical truth, away from both abuse and excess and neglect and denial. Like I said, we'll be focusing this evening on the important doctrine of the distribution of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the believer. Point number one, who distributes the gifts? Who has the responsibility of distributing spiritual gifts? Let's see if we can answer this question. The distribution of spiritual gifts is of such importance, and it is, and such a profound work that all three of the persons of the Trinity are actively involved. Did you get that? All three of the Godhead are involved in the distribution of the spiritual gifts. Do you know that puts it on the same level as creation and redemption? Do you think the distribution of spiritual gifts is important? I think it is. All three of the Godhead are involved. And we notice that in our text. Let's just draw that straight out of our text. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, capital S, there's the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You got the Holy Ghost in verse 4, you got God the Son in verse 5, and you've got God the Father in verse 6. All three of the Godhead are mentioned in and around the distribution and the outworkings of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just look at these three again individually and particularly. Notice number one here under this section, first of all, God the Father. And we've got our reference there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6. It references God, but let me give you another reference. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. And this here points out the involvement of God the Father in regards to the spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, well-known passage of scripture, the first couple of verses about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice and be not conformed to this world. And verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Oh, well, that doesn't mention anything about spiritual gifts. We'll keep reading. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, and so on. But you see here in verse 3, it's God that has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God the Father is involved in the distribution of the spiritual gifts. According to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, and also found in our text. Now secondly, let's have a look at another verse in relation to God the Holy Spirit. That's back in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. It says plainly in black and white, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You know that word severally, we don't use that too much in our day, but it means individually, it means personally. And there the Holy Spirit divides to every man severally as he will. So here we see very plainly that God the Holy Spirit is involved in the distribution of spiritual gifts. Now go with me. Thirdly, let's look at God the Son. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking somewhere around verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's very similar language to what was said over there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Remember that? Very, very similar. So here we're seeing here in Ephesians 4 and verse 7 in relation to God the Son. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's interesting. Now that he ascended, what is it that, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave, and see here, this is where it's in relation to gifts. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some, who did? Christ did. So God the Father's involved, God the Holy Ghost is involved, and God the Son is involved. All three are heavily involved in the distribution of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, off the back of Ephesians chapter 4, all spiritual gifts are given on the basis of Christ's victory over death, hell, and the grave, and his ultimate defeat of Satan. And that's what Ephesians chapter 4 and those verses are talking about. It's talking about God's victorious resurrection. And his victory over death, hell, and the grave. And in and amongst that, and on the basis of his victory, he has the right to distribute the gifts. And the first gift that Christ bestowed upon man was the Holy Spirit. Remember that? A couple of verses to back that up. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And if we have a look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Spirit is a gift from Jesus in that sense. After his victory on the cross, after his resurrection from the grave, after he went down there, and there in regards to Ephesians chapter 4, and we could get into, oh boy, we could get into a debate about what the captivity is and who the captives are and all that, couldn't we? Boy, we could just really sweat over that. But that's not really the point. If he really wanted us to know who the captives were, he would have told us plainly. The fact is, he is victorious. That's the emphasis of the verse. is that Christ was victorious. I got my opinion, you got your opinion, that's good, praise God. And he, but in amongst that, he gave gifts unto men. And the reason he was able to give gifts unto men is because he was victorious over death, hell and the grave. Victory in Jesus. Through his victory, you know, it's the victorious conqueror that gets to spoil the goods and give out the gifts. And that's exactly what Christ did after his victory at Calvary. That all being said, about the Trinity and the Godhead, it must be emphasized that all gifts are sovereignly given by the Holy Spirit. He is the main instrument, if that's the right word, in the distribution of the gifts. And go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just let me point out a few verses here. We're going to start in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, we're going to go down through verse 11. And let's just notice the emphasis here. I need to get out of Romans chapter 12, that'll help. That was a little confusing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit is the gift that he gives you. That's how the Holy Spirit is revealed, by you exercising that spiritual gift. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Holy Ghost sovereignly distributes the gifts at his will. What needs to be understood by that? The application is this. Man isn't to seek a particular spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit sovereignly chooses what gift or gifts you have. Man isn't to seek a particular spiritual gift. You don't get a spiritual gift by praying for or seeking after it. Spiritual gifts are bestowed sovereignly by the Holy Spirit apart from the will or inclination of the individual. The fact is, you get no choice what your spiritual gift or gifts are. The Holy Spirit has that sovereign choice, and he chooses what spiritual gift or gifts you have. And I'll make comment about that later on. It's a really important thing to get a hold of. Number two, so we've hopefully settled who distributes the gifts. Well, the Godhead does, but in amongst that, God, the Holy Ghost, is the main instrument in the distribution of the gifts. Number two, who are the gifts distributed to? Well, that's important. Who gets a spiritual gift? Well, let me emphasize, every individual believer is given at least one spiritual gift. If you're saved, if you've been born of God, you have been given at least one spiritual gift. And there are four clear statements in Scripture declaring this truth. And these four passages that I'm going to give you, are, you want to write down these references because they're four important references in and around spiritual gifts, okay? In fact, they're the four passages of Scripture that mention spiritual gifts and actually list a number of the spiritual gifts. So there's four clear statements in Scripture declaring plainly that every individual believer is given at least one spiritual gift. Firstly, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's given to everybody. God doesn't save you and then, you're not getting a gift. No, if you've been saved, you've been given a spiritual gift. You need to get a hold of that. Notice in verse 11 also of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And as I said before, that word severally has the idea of individually. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7 states plainly, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It doesn't say, but unto some of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ, but every one of us. And then 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every man has received the gift. In amongst this, let me emphasize, there's five things I want to emphasize about spiritual gifts and the fact that each and every one of us have spiritual gifts. Here's five things. You ready for them? Number one, and I believe if we get a hold of these things, it's going to help us. Number one, you have at least one spiritual gift. Don't think that you are useless to the local church. We all have a spiritual gift to exercise and in order to manifest the Spirit through us for the edification of the local church. You have at least one spiritual gift. Number two, you may have more than one spiritual gift. Nowhere in Scripture are we told definitely that we only get one spiritual gift, and I'm going to use Paul as an example. He had the gift of apostleship. I argue with you that he had the gift of teacher, the gift of prophet, the gift of evangelist, and the gift of pastor-teacher. He probably had about five or six, I don't know. So, you have at least one spiritual gift. Secondly, you may have more than one spiritual gift. Thirdly, you don't have all the spiritual gifts. As astounding as you may be as an individual, you do not have all the spiritual gifts. And the metaphor of the body suggests we need others and that we're limited in our abilities. And folks, we need to understand that. Thirdly, your spiritual gift is essential to the local church. Each member is needed for the efficient running of the local church. We all have a distinct contribution to be made by every believer. And then let me make this statement. Your spiritual gift determines your capacity for service. God has something specific for you to do within the local church based on your spiritual gift or gifts. And the body metaphor draws that out. Let me make this statement. Don't be a nose trying to be an ear. Doesn't work. You'll get frustrated and no one will be edified. So identify what your spiritual gift is and just be content in what the Holy Spirit's given you and exercise it. Don't try and be something you're not. Don't try and be what God hasn't gifted you to be. Just recognize your capacity and exercise your capacity in those limits. That doesn't mean you can't do absolutely anything else. Well, I have the gift of edification. That means I'm not helping anybody. I don't have the gift of help. That's not what it's saying. But be content with what God has given you in regards to your spiritual gift. Let's move on to our third point. And it's somewhat covered in the second point, who are the gifts distributed to, but I want to emphasize this in this third point. When are the spiritual gifts distributed? Spiritual gifts are given to the believer at conversion. And I'm going to make this statement. This is inferred in Scripture. It's not stated black and white. But let me give you three reasons why I believe that the spiritual gifts are distributed at the point of conversion. Number one, they're given by the Holy Spirit. This indicates it's not before conversion. The Holy Spirit's nowhere near you when you're lost. The Holy Spirit's not indwelling you. Some people do believe that when God creates us from our natural birth, we have our gift. And it's just sitting dormant until we're saved. I don't believe that's true. I don't see that in Scripture. It doesn't seem to run clear. The other reason is they're given to every individual believer, indicating it's not later on after conversion. Could you imagine the confusion that would take place? You're saved. Let's just say 15 people are saved. One or two of them begin spiritual gifts straight away. Another one gets one 2 months down the track. Another one gets one 12 months down the track. Another few get some. That's just confusing. That doesn't seem to run true with the nature of God and the character of God. It seems to me that based on how God operates and the overall truth of Scripture, it's not given before conversion. It's not given after conversion at some later state when we pray and beg God for it, or when we reach a certain level of spirituality because they're bestowed on us by grace, because they're a gift. And it seems to be all wrapped up in the time of conversion. And thirdly, they're given for the edification of the church. At salvation, we're given special capacity for service. God saved you. Let me echo Brother Al. He didn't save you to sit on the sea to do nothing. I mean, he used to say that all the time. God saved you, and he didn't save you to sit on the seat of do nothing. He saved you to do something. And he gave you a capacity through the gift of the Holy Spirit to fulfill that service that he has for you within the local church. Let's go on to number four. Who distributes the gifts? The Holy Ghost. Who are the gifts distributed to? Believers. When are the gifts distributed? At the time of conversion. And fourthly, why are the gifts distributed? Why were the gifts given? What's the point? Why do we need spiritual gifts? Well, let me just make a couple of reasons. Number one, spiritual gifts are distributed for the profit and benefit of others. Go with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So the Spirit is given to every man. Why? To profit with all. That statement, to profit with all, it has the idea, again, it's not language we often use, but it carries with it the idea of to the advantage of all, to the common good of all, to profit with all, that all may profit. Not that you may profit, but that all may profit. The manifestation is given to every man to profit with all, for the common good of others. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another. You don't receive the gift to minister to yourself. You receive the gift or gifts to minister one to another. It's about others, folks. Romans chapter 12, go there. Let's go back to Romans 12. We need to have a look at a few verses here in Romans 12. We're going to read from verse 3 down through verse 10. Why are the spiritual gifts given? For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, see, the gifts are given by grace, you see that? With a prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. So down through here, we've got the emphasis. Number one, we've got the metaphor of the body there, that, you know, the members of your body are there to minister to the rest of your body. Your hand doesn't just serve itself. Your hand picks up a hamburger and puts it to your mouth, right? Because that's what it does. It serves the body. And same with a local body, a local body of Christ, a local church. God has fitly joined that local church together, and he's given each and every one of us particular spiritual gifts. We need to identify what our spiritual gifts are so that we can minister to each other. That's how it operates. It's not so you can minister to yourself. And it's not even so you can minister to the lost world. Well, that seems a bit harsh. It's what the Bible says. We're the body. That doesn't mean the body collectively can't minister to the lost world and take the gospel, evangelize, be gracious, be kind, be merciful, help people, all those things. Sure, we can do that. But when it comes to your spiritual gift, it's to be exercised within the local church. God emphasizes local church over and over again. What good? Let's just think about that. Let's just think about the universal church idea. So let's just say I'm the left hand in Australia. And the head's in America. And the left foot's in Europe somewhere. How are we going to minister to each other? That doesn't even make sense. It's a local body. It's not a universal body and just chaotic. It's a local body operating together as a local body. That's why it's so important to be involved and faithfully attending and being a member of a local church. It's not my idea. It's not even an independent Baptist idea. It's a Bible idea. Perhaps the most compelling passage of Scripture on this is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go there, 1 Corinthians 14. Why are the gifts distributed? For the profit and benefit of others. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 through 5. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not under man, but under God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Why are people so interested in speaking in tongues? Well, it's all about self-edification. They do it to glorify themselves. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. What's so important? What's the emphasis down through here in the exercise of the gifts? Twice in verse 4, and verse 5, at the end of both those verses, edifieth the church, that the church may receive edifying. Why did God give you a spiritual gift? That the church may be edified. That's why God has given you a spiritual gift. And that's why you need to be in a church exercising that spiritual gift, that the church may be edified. Your spiritual gift is not for your own glory and honour, but rather about the edification and building up of God's local church. In conclusion, let me make a couple of statements. There's few things are more important to the Christian than identifying your spiritual gift. It's so vitally important that we identify our spiritual gift or gifts. Why did God give you the gift he gave you? Why? Why didn't he give you some other gift? Well, the reason he gave you the gift or gifts that he has is because it fits you perfectly for his plan and purpose in your life. Now, it may not fit perfectly with your plan and purpose in life, but it does fit perfectly with his plan and his purpose in life for you. That's why it's so important that you identify your spiritual gift or gifts and then exercise it, that you can fulfill the purpose that God has for you on this earth. The sooner we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit has sovereignly given us our gift or gifts, the better. Because the sooner we acknowledge that, the quicker we'll be content, be grateful, and be rejoicing in the gift that we have. How dare we, as Christians, how dare we despise or ignore the gift or gifts that we've been given because we want something else? We just need to be content and satisfied with the gift or gifts that the Holy Spirit has sovereignly, by his good grace, bestowed upon us. I don't want to be a helper. Boo-hoo. You don't get to choose. The Holy Spirit chose you to be a helper. I don't want to be a preacher. Me either. Boo-hoo. I didn't get to choose. You have to identify your spiritual gifts, and then just be content, worship God, and just learn to exercise them, develop them, grow them. You'll be blessed as you bless others. And God will be glorified, Christ will be magnified, and thanksgiving will be given all the way around. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instruction in the word. Dear God, help us grasp it, we pray. Help us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, that you'd be honored and glorified throughout the week. Lord, help us, Lord, to identify our spiritual gift. Lord, I pray you'd help us as a church through this. Oh, Lord, we need you. God, may the church be edified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.